This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Remember the Supremes? Oh, yes. Diana Ross, Mary Wells. And there was one other, and I wish I knew the name of the other Supreme. But anyway, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. It is Monday. I thank you for joining us. In a few minutes, Marlo Lewis of the Competitive Enterprise Institute will be here. And we're going to talk on whether the federal agencies, you know, the ones that are run in the executive department and report to the president, do they have the right to shield their work from the public? We're going to discuss that. And an ABC poll shows a majority of people think Hillary Clinton should have been charged in the email scandal. We will discuss it. And should the category of hate crimes be eliminated? We are going to give you some reasons why we think it should. And in our ultimate top 10 list, we have a great one, the top 10 greatest American comic strips. Do you remember the comic strips? Some people don't even know they existed. We're going to talk about that. Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber, his shop located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. It is just west of the Countryside Mall, and it is the place to go for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Saturday, 8:30 to 2, closed Mondays. And Arms for Defense, also in the Columbia Plaza, for the best price and the best selection of guns and ammunition in the countryside area. And now more than ever, if you need a gun for home, car, personal carry, you'll get the best selection. You will get trained the right way. Arms for Defense, 727-375-GUNS. And we want to remind you, if you don't know this, great news here at Tantalk. We are now on FM with a wonderful signal, 106.1 FM for those of you in Tampa, St. Pete, and Clearwater, and 104.3 for those of you in Dade City. So now we're on FM, and I sound even better. How is that possible? But I do. So now you can listen to us there. Now you can always go to the website and listen to us anywhere in the world. TheFreedomWorks.com. Absolutely. TheFreedomWorks.com. Big Ed will also entertain you with our podcast, because we've got every one of our shows on there in chronological order, which he sets up. TheFreedomWorks.com. And remember, if you want to call in, 866-826-1340. And as I say, we have a lot going on. I want to get to this one, and I think this is really true. Now, this is the ABC News Washington Post poll. Just came out. A majority of people disapprove of the FBI recommendation not to charge Hillary Clinton with a crime over her email while she was the Secretary of State. And a similar number say the issue leaves them worried about how she would handle her responsibilities as president. I mean, she just has shrugged this entire thing off. And you know, we have lost our respect for government when we have people running for president and being senators and Secretary of States that go, you know, I wanted my own. What's the big deal about that? It's the right-wing conspirators coming after me now. Come on. I'm glad to see this poll is like this. Reaction to the decision is highly political, with partisanship factoring heavily in people's views, yet Democrats do not back Clinton up on the issue nearly as much as Republicans criticize her, and independents side more with the Republicans. So there you go. Overall, 56% disapprove of FBI Director James Comey's recommendation not to charge her. Only 35% approve of it. 56 to 35. Also, 57% say the incident makes them worried about how Clinton might act as president if she were elected, with most very worried about it. Just 39% say the issue is not related to how she would perform as president. And as mentioned, partisanship heavily influencing perceptions in this poll. Nearly 9 in 10 Republicans disagree with Comey's decision not to charge. Democrats see it a bit differently. About two-thirds, about 66%, approve of the decision not to charge Hillary and think the issue is unrelated to what she would do as president. But 3 in 10 of the Democrats think she should have been charged. That, you know, that's 30%. That's, you know, for Democrats, that's pretty high. Further, as noted, independents. Now, these are the ones that are going to, let's be honest, the independents are going to determine who's going to become president. They side more with Republicans. 6 in 10 say the FBI was wrong not to charge her. So we'll see how this all works out. Do you think it'll go away? I don't think so. I think it won't. Anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, Marlo Lewis.
Let me be your love teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck and lead me anywhere. Let me be,
oh, let him be
your teddy bear.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tan Talk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
CQ Grill in Largo features an amazing menu from the sea to the barbecue. Start with Bar Harbor Live Maine Lobster, full belly clams. On the barbecue side, Texas award-winning brisket, pulled pork that melts in your mouth. All prepared by award-winning Chef Kyle. CQ Grill has a family atmosphere inside with a patio outside and live entertainment on the weekends. Located in Largo at 1750 Clearwater Largo Road. For hours at CQ Grill, call 210-7647.
Hey, Miss Mona, what's better than a day spent on a Florida beach?
I don't know. What's that, Jim Shue?
A day on the beach with a great radio station.
I'm Miss Mona. He is Jim Shue, and we want to rock your Saturdays beginning at 11 a.m.
Yeah, we'll play the best in classic rock. We'll feature some of the hot local bands, and we'll tell everybody where the good concerts and the hot nightclubs are.
Every week, we'll tell you the story behind a classic song. This week, Don Felder tells us how he wrote Hotel California.
It's the Coastal Concert Connection, and it's heard Saturdays at 11 a.m.
Life's a beach. Might as well rock.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us on a Monday morning here on Freedom Works. We're delighted to have Marlo Lewis back with us from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is a senior fellow writing on global warming, energy policy, and public policy issues. And we're going to talk with Marlo about what we might call transparency in federal agencies. Marlo, welcome back. And I want to go back to a suit that CEI was involved in for work-related emails in one of the agencies. Would you describe that back in 2013?
Yes, I will, Paul, and thanks for having me back on the show.
Sure.
Yeah, we found out through another Freedom of Information Act inquiry that the director of the White House Science of Office of Science and Technology Policy, John Holdren, had been conducting what looked to us like official agency business through his private email account on a server that was maintained by his previous employer, an activist group called the Woods Hole Center, the Woods Hole Research Center.
Is this deja vu all over again? What?
Well,
Go ahead.
It has become an epidemic. You know, part of it is simply natural, but everybody is wired these days. Everybody has his own email account that he can access on his phone, and so, you know, so you would expect some of that to occur. But the suspicion is that some federal employees are now conducting official business through private email so that there would be no opportunity for the public to find out about it. And so naturally we wanted to have the FOIA officers at the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the Freedom of Information Act officers, look at these emails and find out if any were work-related. And if they were, and they weren't in some sense classified, which of course they shouldn't be if they're being distributed in private email. Those who've been following the Hillary Clinton email scandal are aware of this problem. Well, then they should be turned over to us so that we could look at them. Well, so this was October 2013. The White House Office of Science and Technology Policy said no. The law only requires us to search email and produce them to the requester, that's the term of art, produce, if the email is under our control. But it's not under our control, it's under the control of the Woods Hole Research
right.
Center. So then we had to sue the Office of Science and Technology Policy to get these emails, or even just to search them. This we did in May 2014. Then in March 2015, a district court in the nation's capital ruled in favor of the agency. They said, "Well, no, the emails were under the control of the Woods Hole Center, so the White House is not obligated to look at them or to share them." And so we pointed out that, look, by that logic, government employees could conduct all their business through private emails, and then the public would never be able to find out what their government is up to. In other words, the premise of the lower court's decision and of the White House is that FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, shall be destroyed. So anyway, we had a victory just this month in July. The District Court of Appeals in Washington D.C. basically made the same argument that you know, that the whole purpose of the Freedom of Information Act would be subverted if federal employees, including agency heads, could hide what they're doing from the public by doing it through private channels.
Yeah. You know what I have to say about this? Thank God there's some logic left in Washington. After watching the FBI director bend like a pretzel with Hillary Clinton's emails, I was beginning to think that no logic now stands up. And this is actually...
It's almost that bad.
Yeah.
It's almost that bad. You know, and look, CEI is a nonprofit organization, so that means we don't get involved in electioneering. But I have to say this about the Hillary Clinton email scandal. I worked in the State Department in two different bureaus in the second Reagan administration, and I remember how much emphasis was put on these sorts of security matters when I was there. If you left the building, and of course no one can get into the building without going through a checkpoint, and and even if you lock your office door when you go, if you leave a classified document on your desk, if you haven't locked the document in the desk, you get cited. And if you get a number of those citations, the FBI will come and investigate you. And you can actually, and if you leave the building with a classified document, this is what I remember, you could be fired.
Yeah.
And that's only if you did it, you know, or you would certainly be, you know, get a severe warning. There would be consequences. And Hillary Clinton, we know, did this multiple times.
Yep.
And so, you know, the question that I would ask is, it would seem to me that if some lower level State Department official had done what she did and was caught, she could never have been confirmed as Secretary of State.
Right.
There is no way, in my opinion, and this is not a legal judgment.
No.
It just seems to me, as a political matter, if someone, say, was in a senior executive service in the State Department and had been caught doing what she did and then was later nominated to be Secretary of State, there is no way the Senate in good conscience could have confirmed her. And I leave it to your listeners to infer what that means for her presidential race.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking with Marlo Lewis, who is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and where he writes on global warming, energy policy, and public policy issues. And we're talking about a recent decision by the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals to reject this government transparency loophole that, was almost manufactured, I guess, by the Obama administration. Now, it's funny how these emails, now that we're in this world of technology, I guess it's harder. You were talking about being back in the Reagan administration, where, you know, a lot more things were laid down on a piece of paper. And today, I guess a lot of this, I don't know, maybe even the classified stuff, do you think it's actually on paper anymore? it's so crazy.
We all heard about the myth of the paperless office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And email, electronic, the digitization of information has produced blizzards of paper because now it's
I guess
easy
you're right.
to print anything out that you want. And
yeah.
so, and, you know, it, it, people have different preferences. A lot of my younger colleagues prefer to read stuff on their computers. But, you know, I got into the habit, you know, of reading stuff on paper because I grew up before the computer era. And
right.
maybe it's just my old eyes. But I know that whenever I have to really scrutinize something and it's long, I print it out. And so I would imagine that a certain amount of that goes on, today in government offices as well.
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder, and I want to get back to this idea of how dedicated people may or may not be anymore to the security of our country with information like this. Dana Perino, who was the press secretary to George W. Bush, had to vent in online, by the way, in a tweet, and she talked about how when they would go to another country, they couldn't even take their cell phones off the plane. They had to leave everything locked in the plane. That they had such respect for the concept of security. And, over all of these things. And she said she is so upset with the attitude, not necessarily with just Hillary Clinton, but with a lot of people.
That's right.
You know, there's something that is no longer there. It's not only dangerous. I think this is very sad.
Well, it is. And, of course, I haven't looked at any kind of survey research or that would indicate the extent to which this Hillary Clinton's cavalier attitude is pervasive. I don't really know,
yeah.
but it really is the case that
they're just a
the
sense
extent to which these things are taken seriously by down through the chains of command in these agencies really does depend to a great extent on the tone that is set at the very top.
Right.
Right.
Exactly so, right.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now. Are we? Is there going to be any further challenge on this agency and their transparency and freedom of information? I mean, have we reached? Go ahead.
Here's what's going to happen now. The District Court of Appeals remanded the case back to the District Court and said, now, okay, you have to get the emails. The Office of Science and Technology Policy has to get the emails from the Woods Hole Research Center, and you, the judge of the lower court, has to look at those emails and determine whether any are work-related and subject to the Freedom of Information Act. So that's where it stands now. So we'll see.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Until we actually look at the emails, we don't know how many of them are actually work-related. Maybe most of them were just personal, but maybe not. Anyway, now we at least have an opportunity to find out.
Right. Again, we're talking with Marla Lewis from the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking a little bit about, overall security, privacy, classified documents. Why are they even going offline with their personal emails to do this? I would think that they would feel rather uncomfortable doing that. I don't know why they wouldn't want to just stay within the security framework of the federal email system when they're doing any of this stuff. But, it goes to a larger point about whether or not federal agencies are responsible to the public because of the fact that they're appointed. I guess they feel they have a buffer, don't they? The president's in front of them blocking any scrutiny. What do you think?
Well, my colleague, who's the FOIA master, and I heartily encourage you to have him on the show because he has literally written the book, or two books now, on the Obama administration's attempt to undermine transparency laws. But he has actually found some email by to and from federal employees. In this case, it was an EPA. It was an EPA with email back and forth between an EPA official and an environmental advocacy group. And basically, the EPA official said, "Hey, let's take this conversation offline, so to speak. Here's my private email address." So we know that some of that goes on, that it's because, you see, under federal transparency laws, such as the Presidential Records Act and the Federal Advisory Commission Act, any time a member of the executive branch has a conversation or a communication with a private actor who has an interest in a policy matter over which the federal official has some jurisdiction, that communication is supposed to be recorded. But we all know that a lot of policy making is politically sensitive, and so there is a natural tendency for federal employees who are policymakers to want to keep their business private if they can.
Yeah.
Now, they all know that they're not supposed to, and in some cases, the code of honor plus the fear of the consequences of violating these laws is enough to make sure that all such conversations, documents, emails that are pertinent to policymaking are in the public record. But in some cases, not. It's human nature.
Yeah.
There are cheaters in this world, which is why there are codes of honor, and then there are also consequences for breaking them. And so, because email now is so easily, it's so easy to do because you can do it on your phone. We are suspicious that what now appears to be an ever increasingly widespread practice of using private email to conduct government business, that some significant fraction of it may be evasive, and so that's what we're after. And so maybe we need some updates to the FOIA or to these transparency laws. Maybe you know, maybe the maybe there should be a rule that you can only use your private email or private channels of communication if you get it cleared in advance, so that the FOIA officer knows that at some point, very soon, you will share whatever it was you did with a private email or some private server, and also that you have to provide some justification. Why is it that you can't use the official government email system for this particular communication? Maybe in some cases, circumstances require that you use your private use a private server, but at least there should be some criteria as to when that decision is proper and that it be approved in advance so that the public can in fact keep track of what you're doing.
Well, I think this indeed is an issue that is going to get a lot of scrutiny now, especially in light of what went on with the Hillary Clinton emails. And we're delighted that the Competitive Enterprise Institute is involved and kind of, you know, watching out for the public. Marlo, thank you so very much for being with us, and I'll look forward to talking with you again.
Thanks again, Paul.
Our pleasure. Marlo Lewis of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break. Lots more to talk about, including should the category of hate crimes be eliminated?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for the best selection of firearms in North Pinellas County? Well, you'll find it at Arms for Defense. Arms for Defense in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580 in Clearwater. It is just west of Highway US 19 and the Countryside Mall. Paul, the owner, will make sure you get exactly the gun that you need. And at Arms for Defense, they specialize in home and personal carry firearms, including CZ handguns and the complete line of Glock and Springfield Armory guns. You'll also get the training you need at a great indoor training range. Arms for Defense in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19. Call 727-375-GUNS. That's 727-375-4867.
The Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Looking for your sports fix? If it happened in the sports world, we've got it covered right here every weekday afternoon with your host, Rick Sassone, the Hockey Hottie, myself, Chris Dunn, Travis Failey, and many more. It's the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tantalk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place, and you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Thank you for being with us on a Friday morning here on Freedom Works. I want to remind you, we are sponsored in part by Andrew the Master Barber. His great barber shop for the best haircut in North Pinellas County is over in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of the Countryside Mall, just west of Highway US 19. For my money, not only North Pinellas County, but the entire Tampa Bay area. And I'll tell you why. When you go in there, first of all, Andrew and Candy will ask you what kind of a cut you desire. They make sure that you get exactly what you want. That's number one. Number two, the price. I mean, you know, compared to going into those, like, those chain salons these days that men go into, and you know the price you get. Plus, the next time you go there, that person isn't there to cut your hair anyway, right? I mean, you've got the price, the ambiance, the location, and most importantly, the quality of the haircut. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30. Saturday, 8:30 to 2. They are closed on Monday. And remember, if you like our show, you will love Andrew, the Master Barber. Well, before we get to this hate crime issue, I want to make note that it looks like Britain will have a female prime minister again. I don't think they've had one since Margaret Thatcher. But Andrea Leadsom has withdrawn from the race to replace the current Prime Minister David Cameron, who was leaving. That leaves Home Secretary Theresa May as the sole remaining candidate to lead the Conservative Party. Now, she was against the exit, or Brexit. But assuming she's confirmed, she could become Prime Minister within a couple of days. Now, Cameron announced that he was going to resign. He pushed remaining in the European Union, lost, and had said, you know, if I'm going to stake my reputation on our stay. So he loses, and he announces he's going to leave. And so here we are with this Theresa May. We'll see where all of this goes, but I think overall the United Kingdom is going to be better off. They are getting back some of their autonomy that they lost in the European Union, and we'll see where all of it goes. Now, in the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about this whole issue of hate crimes, and the reason I want to talk about it this morning is that after that horrible incident in Dallas in which five police officers were killed, the Fraternal Order of Police, which is the country's largest group of law enforcement officers, is now asking the Justice Department to consider the killing of the five police officers in Dallas as a hate crime. And I'm sure the logic would say that that is indeed what it is. Now, of course, the person that perpetrated it is dead, but they want it listed as a hate crime nonetheless. Here is the group president of the FOP, Chuck Canterbury. He says the U.S. Department of Justice is always quick to insert itself into local investigations. Today we expect action just as swift. We want a federal investigation into those who were motivated by their hatred of police to commit mass murder in Dallas. Now, the guy that did all of this, Micah Johnson, 25-year-old black Army vet, was apparently angry about two recent incidents in which a police officer was involved with a black male, and the black males were killed. So let's talk a little bit about the concept of hate crimes. Every crime is a hate crime. And when you try to figure out whether or not someone's killed or assaulted somebody because they're gay or black or white or female or male, or we're getting to the point where everything is a hate crime if you think about it. If you're going to kill somebody and it's proven that you had intent, that's a hate crime. Why do we need to all of a sudden say, now we're going to make a federal hate crime if you assault or injure or kill a gay person? What about a non-gay person? You know? Isn't this getting kind of stupid? I mean, a hate crime is a... they're all hate crimes. I'm thinking that this whole thing, and this decision by the Fraternal Order of Police, I think it kind of shows that. I mean, let's, you know, if you're going to kill police, and that's going to be a special kind of hate crime, what about killing an accountant? You know, I don't know where you would end it with a hate crime. It just doesn't make any sense. They're all hate crimes. We don't need a federal overlay on top of it. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But, you know, there again, these are regulations that come up. Pressure, politics in Washington, appeasement, whatever the word is, catering to one side, hoping for votes. That's all it is. Now, we want to talk a little bit also about what is have you heard much from Donald Trump recently? He's been kind of quiet, hasn't he? Well, he's apparently, among other things, he's looking for a vice president. And I'm wondering if he's getting a lot of people to say, no, thank you. Anyway, Indiana Republicans are thinking that Trump may pick their governor, Mike Pence, as his running mate. So they've been working behind the scenes to get somebody in his place if Pence drops his re-election bid as governor to become the VP nominee. I don't know if Pence will be the good will be the guy or not, but apparently a lot of people in Indiana think so. Now, if Trump's going to pick Pence, he's going to have to decide pretty soon. In fact, by noon Friday, that is the deadline for Pence. He's got to either say or not say whether he's going to run again for governor by then. So the candidate that they might replace Pence with in Indiana for governor is Eric Holcomb. He is currently the lieutenant governor, and assuredly it looks like he would become the guy to replace him. But there is speculation that Donald Trump has already decided that Pence is his man. Now, they're going to apparently appear together tomorrow at a rally in Westfield, Indiana, followed by a private fundraiser in Indianapolis. You know, I've heard some other scuttlebutt. I don't know if this is true or not, but it's certainly a rumor, and that is that Donald Trump, if he wins the presidency, will immediately step down and let the vice president run the country because he doesn't really want to be president. Now, that rumor has probably been floated for quite a while, but apparently Trump was asked about whether he would step down if he was elected, and his answer was, quote, wait and see. That's not very encouraging. If you're a Donald Trump fan, don't you want him to stay? But I thought, you know, why would Donald Trump want to stay in that job? I mean, the White House is nice and everything, but doesn't he prefer to live in Trump Tower? It seems to me he would rather be free as a bird than be president. Now, I don't know if you're forced to live in the White House. Are you? Are you forced to live in the White House if you're president? Or could you live in a little bungalow, you know, on Coon Lake in Minnesota or something, and do fishing? And phone in your job. Beginning to think you could. It'd be a lot more relaxing. Ah, well. We'll find out about that, I'm sure, won't we? But we'll see if who in the heck is going to be the vice presidential nominee for Donald Trump. There's a lot of people that say no thank you, but there's a lot that are interested. So we shall find out. We're going to take our final break. And don't forget, when we come back, the top 10 greatest American comic strips of all time. Do you think you know what they are?
Here she comes,
that little town flirt.
Here she comes.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
The Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Looking for your sports fix? If it happened in the sports world, we've got it covered right here every weekday afternoon with your host, Rick Sassone, the Hockey Hottie, myself, Chris Dunn, Travis Failey, and many more. It's the Rocket Sports and Entertainment Network Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4, right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, did you know there's a live psychology talk show 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at noon, where you can call in and get free guidance and also learn several different topics relating to ending the stigma on mental health? It's called Moments of Clarity on WTAN 1340 AM. It's with licensed therapist Tiffany Warner, who will try to end the stigma on mental health. But the only way you can do that is to listen to Moments of Clarity 3 days a week, Monday, Thursday, and Friday at noon on WTAN 1340 AM, the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Okay, we are back. Thank you for joining us on a Monday morning here on Freedom Works. I want to remind you, we are sponsored in part by Arms for Defense. For the best price and best selection of guns and ammunition in the countryside area of Clearwater, definitely Arms for Defense. If you are interested in a firearm for your house, for your car, personal carry, and this includes the CZ handguns, the entire line of Glock and Springfield Armory guns, and the Adams Arms AR-15 and AR-10 rifles. By the way, they are the best AR platform rifles that there are. Then you got to go to Arms for Defense, where you will meet Paul DiGirolamo, and he will see to it you get the perfect firearm for your own special needs. He will also see to it that you are properly trained in their use. You will be able to train at a great indoor facility. And you'll actually be very comfortable and confident. And I'll tell you, now more than ever, people are thinking about it. Let's be honest. With all of what has been going on most recently, there has been a huge surge in considering a firearm for protection. But Arms for Defense, that is the place to go. And if you just Google them, Google Arms for Defense, you're going to see they get a rating of 4.7 out of 5. I mean, that is unheard of. That's the kind of place that you know you will be comfortable. Ladies, families are welcome. They are in the Columbia Plaza. They're right down the sidewalk, by the way, from Andrew the Master Barber there. Very, very convenient. Call 727-375-GUNS. That's 727-375-4867. Well, I also want to remind you that we are now on FM 106.1. Yeah, go there if you're in the Tampa, St. Peter, Clearwater area. And those of you in Dade City, 104.3. So Tantalk, we're all over the place. Along, of course, with our 1340 AM. I mean, you know, you can't get rid of us. Now, before we go to our top 10, I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been going on. Did you know that Osama bin Laden has a son that is very upset? He is warning that Al-Qaeda will take revenge against America for killing his dad back in 2011. Now, this is according to audio that's been released by the Al-Qaeda media arm. It was released on Saturday, and don't know where this guy, this kid is. He's in hiding, of course. But according to the report, here's what he had to say. If you think that your sinful crime that you committed in Abbottabad has passed without punishment, then you thought wrong. Now, again, we knocked off Osama bin Laden in May 2011. Golly, is it really 5 years ago that we did that? At his compound in Pakistan. As we said, his son's whereabouts not known. But analysts are saying he may be getting ready to take over the leadership of Al-Qaeda. That's all we need. There's another Osama bin Laden running Al-Qaeda. The U.S., by the way, is freeing another Gitmo prisoner. A Yemeni prisoner has been released to Italy in part of a wave of dozens of transfers expected in the coming weeks. President Obama wants to get rid of all of these prisoners, as you know. They're not going to come to the United States. We got to find countries to drop them off in. This guy is about 40 years old. His name is Faiz Suleiman. He spent 14 years in custody. He was suspected of fighting with Al-Qaeda against America and coalition forces in Afghanistan, but he was never charged. And again, President Obama seeking to close Gitmo. Congress, the Republicans themselves say, no, this is crazy that we are still fighting, and why are we releasing these people back? A lot of them are going to take up arms against us once again. Also want to mention, you know that the two conventions are coming up here in July. I think it's July the 10th. Let's see, next Monday start. Actually, next Monday, not the 10th. What am I talking about? Next Monday would start the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Well, Hillary Clinton over the weekend is proposing increased money for community health centers and has also been outlining steps to expand health care access. She made the proposal as a nod to Bernie Sanders for the full platform committee and putting this on there as a resolution. She's trying to get Bernie to endorse her. She's trying to get unity. She's trying to get everything in place before July 25th when the Democratic convention starts in Philadelphia. She also wants to, apparently under pressure from Bernie Sanders, get the $15 per hour minimum wage put into their platform. And I'm sure it will be. The health care proposal, I don't know why anybody doesn't realize all of this health care being run by the federal government. There isn't one of us that isn't being affected by the cost of health care now. It's going up, up, up for all of us. And it's when the federal government gets involved in anything like this that it goes up. And look at the access. How long does it take for you to see a doctor these days for just simple things? I mean, this is what happens when the federal government is involved. I guess one day we will finally figure this out. And before we get to the top 10, finally, the State Department is reopening an investigation into whether Hillary Clinton mishandled that classified info. She got off the hook with the FBI, but the State Department may pull her clearance. Hopefully they will, but it would be rather embarrassing, wouldn't it, if she was the president and she had no access to classified documents? How does she run the country without access to classified documents as president? Well, that's how crazy this whole election is. All right. It is time for, I think, a great top 10. These are the top 10 greatest American comic strips. I don't know how they came up with this. And I think there's always room for some that I would have put on here that did not make it. But Chris, we got Chris on the board. Chris, do you ever read comic strips? Or are you one of those guys that has never put a newspaper into his hands because you're all in the technology world?
I don't read comics. Are we talking comic books or comic strips?
No, comic strips, uh-huh.
Okay.
Comic strips.
Yeah, I would say I probably know maybe two or three of the ones that you're even going to say.
Really? Okay. Well, we're going to find out. Some of them went on to greater fame after comic strips.
Yeah,
you may have heard of them,
yeah,
okay?
Probably.
All right, without further ado, by the way, this is from Listverse. So this is theirs. It's not necessarily mine. I'm an old timer. I remember comic strips, actually. But without further ado, number 10, Crazy Cat. Do you remember Crazy Cat?
Never heard of it. Give me a year.
Crazy Cat was ran in the papers from 1913 to 1944. It was the primary influence of Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Did you know that? Well, you remember them, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. But Crazy Cat, and they made cartoons about Crazy Cat. Way, way back. All right, number nine. I have never heard of this one.
Oh, then I probably haven't.
Liberty Meadows?
Never.
Liberty Meadows, a syndicated column from 1997 through 2001. Frank Cho was the guy that syndicated it. The comic fought with syndicates because Liberty Meadows was a little bit, let's say, what was that thing about, I'm not really bad, I'm just drawn that way? Liberty Meadows was a little bit like that. There you go. Number eight, Garfield the Cat.
Now, okay, I have a problem here. How is Garfield number eight?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, Garfield should be like number two at worst.
Oh, you think?
Well, I have a feeling somewhere between seven and two, there's going to be several we've never even heard of.
That's true.
So how are they better than Garfield?
I don't know. But he was the world's most widely syndicated comic strip, though it's recently gained a reputation for being bland and apolitical. But it was a big one. You're right. I think a lot of people could question that placement. All right, number seven. Little Abner. Ever heard of Little Abner? No.
Of course not.
Complete blank. Al Capp.
Clearly better than Garfield, though.
Well, a lot of people would believe so, but they would be about 85 or 90 years old because Little Abner was a huge Sunday comic strip. Al Capp wrote and directed and drew Little Abner for 43 years. It tells the story of the extended redneck Yoakum family and their friends in Dogpatch, Kentucky. Number six, Opus. Have you heard of Opus? No, I haven't heard of it. Opus is one of the more adorable comics, due in large part to Opus the Penguin's gigantic nose and extreme naivete. I guess I do remember Opus a little bit, but not much. Number five, Doonesbury. Does that ring a bell? Very political, Doonesbury.
Kind of. It's a little bit more modern.
Yeah.
It does ring a bell, but that's about it.
It's one of the most political strips to appear in the funny pages. Gary Trudeau, very liberal, quite popular comic strip. Number four. I guarantee you, you know this one, Peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
Charles Schulz.
So, again, I'm going to say this. How the heck is that not number one?
Yeah. I think it should be number one of the list I see here. But this is a biased list.
And who's the main character?
The main character is Charlie Brown.
Exactly. And Charlie Brown, everybody in the world knows who Charlie Brown is. I guarantee you it's more popular than whatever number one is.
I agree with you. I see number one here, and I agree with you. Okay. Number three. Pogo. And I remember Pogo. You don't remember. I know that. Written and drawn by Walt Kelly from 1948 to 1975. Very satirical. It was Pogo the Possum and this his friend, the Alligator. But it was being like political statements at the time. Okay. Number two. The Far Side.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Gary Larson's weird single panel design. No storylines, just random humorous observations on life. All right. And finally, the number one greatest comic strip in American history is...
Calvin and Hobbes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You knew it. Yeah. I would have never guessed it.
But I wouldn't put Calvin and Hobbes ahead of Garfield or Peanuts.
I would agree with you.
Especially Peanuts.
Peanuts to me would have been number one. Peanuts transcended time. You don't remember Blondie, do you? You don't remember, let's see, well, Blondie. Blondie was so big. How about Little Orphan Annie? I know you don't remember
it. Yeah, I don't remember it as a cartoon.
But you remember
comic.
The characters.
Yeah,
you remember Blondie?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, Calvin and Hobbes, Bill Watterson, 1985 to 1995. He refused to merchandise it to his credit. There you go, my friends. Freedom Works, back on Wednesday.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay.
Bush, I'm Christopher Cruz. Hillary Clinton's campaign this morning announcing Bernie Sanders will join her at an event tomorrow in New Hampshire. Correspondent Karen Kafa.
Neither camp has called it an endorsement announcement, but it's believed that the Vermont senator was satisfied enough with the outcome of this weekend's Democratic Platform Committee meeting in Orlando to throw his support behind Clinton.
President Obama heads to Dallas tomorrow for a memorial service for the five police officers murdered last week. Former President George W. Bush will also be at the service. Potentially violent weather in some Midwestern states today. Meteorologist Derek Van Dam.
Look out from Minneapolis-St. Paul southward into Kansas City. Hail, damaging winds. Can't rule out the potential of an isolated tornado throughout this region as well. Even the extreme western sections of Wisconsin.
A new all-time high for the S&P 500 today. It topped the previous record high set in May 2015. The Dow up 101 points. S&P 500 up 9. I'm Christopher Cruz. Defense Secretary Ash Carter in Iraq today announced 560 more American troops will be sent to the country. Good news for summer travelers. The average price of gasoline has dropped 7 cents over the past 3 weeks to $2.29 a gallon for regular. Oil industry analyst Trilby Lundberg.
Right now in our panel of cities, the high is San Francisco Bay Area at 290 and the low is Charleston, South Carolina, 191.
Buy for $2 million, 16 years later sell for $4 billion. The mixed martial arts promotion UFC has been sold by Frank and Lorenzo Fertitta. The brothers will stay on in a minority role, and high-profile President Dana White will continue to run the company. The Fertittas bought the company for $2 million in 2001. And San Antonio Spurs star Tim Duncan will retire after 19 seasons and 5 world championships. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Progressive brings you Flowetry with Flo.
To count the discounts, save driver, paperless, automatic payments, multi-car, so many, a penny. Saved is a penny earned, you learn. The money you saved, it builds like a wave of dollar bills. The thrills, scary movies give me chills.
Discounts that help you save more for the things you want. From Progressive, visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Yeah, the TV went out last night. Daddy's going to get a new one today.
We often replace TVs and other electronics as soon as something goes wrong. Your smoke and carbon monoxide alarms are no different. When's the last time you replaced the alarms in your home? Kidde's worry-free smoke and CO alarms have a sealed-in lithium battery, offering 10 years of protection and eliminating late-night low-battery chirp for the life of the alarm. Don't wait. Buy Kidde's worry-free alarms today at the Home Depot. Kidde, technology that saves lives.
Late word, British Prime Minister David Cameron says he will resign by Wednesday and Theresa May will become the next leader of the country. In the palm of your hand lies some help in the search for human organs. An explanation from correspondent Barton Eckert.
Registering to become an organ donor will soon be right at your fingertips. Apple says the new version of its health app will allow users to sign up for the National Donate Life Registry. About 120 million Americans are registered as organ donors, but there are still over 120,000 people waiting for transplants that could save their lives. Apple launched its health app in 2014 to help users manage their fitness. I'm Barton Eckert.
The second annual Amazon Prime Day is tomorrow. The company says customers of its popular Prime service will be offered more than 100,000 deals. But no discount on the Prime service itself. The company says it's already a good deal. I'm Christopher Cruz.